She became tired and had to reduce her speed. Sumadhyama, because of her thin waist. Yavena, because of going very fast. Vishrangsita Kesha Bandhana, from her arrangement of hair, which had become loosened. Chutta Prasuna Anugati, she was followed by the flowers falling after her. Paramrishat, finally captured Krishna without fail. Let us quickly recapture the scene so that we can understand the verse and purport in the in their context. The scene is that once Mother Yashoda fed Shri Krishna, thank you very much, with her own milk, and then saw how the milk she was boiling in a separate stove was boiling over, because that milk was also meant for Krishna. She put Krishna down and went to the milk pot to attend to it, but Shri Krishna did not like that. He felt neglected. Why is Mother putting me down? And as Mother Yashoda went to attend the milk, he ran away from where he was put down and went to the parental stock of milk products. There he took a stone, threw it on one of the clay pots which contained butter, and ate butter. And when he was fulfilled, he took that butter and distributed it to the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan. When Mother Yashoda saw that her son was no longer there, she had just returned from taking care of the milk, she went to look for Krishna. And she came to the place where there was, where the broken pot was. There she found some small footprints like this from butter on the grass. She immediately knew, this is Krishna. Here are his footprints. She took his stick and began to follow those footprints and found Krishna somewhere crying tears, false tears, as Prabhupada says. Krishna is never sad, but he was in the leela of being very much disturbed that Mother put him down. And then when Krishna saw Mother Yashoda approaching, he was immediately getting down. I believe he sat on some stones and he began to run. Mother Yashoda followed him. So this is now where the verse and the purport begin. While following Krishna, Mother Yashoda, her thin waist overburdened by her heavy breasts, naturally had to reduce her speed. Because of following Krishna very swiftly, her hair became loose and the flowers in her hair were falling after her. Yet she did not fail to capture her son Krishna. Finally, she got him. Purport. Yogis cannot capture Krishna by severe penances and austerities. But Mother Yashoda, despite all obstacles, was finally able to catch Krishna without difficulty. This is the difference between a yogi and a bhakta. Yogis cannot enter even the effulgence of Krishna. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagaranda koti. In that effulgence, there are millions of universes, but yogis and jnanis cannot enter that effulgence, even after many, many years of austerities, whereas bhaktas can capture Krishna simply by love and affection. This is the example shown here by Mother Yashoda. Krishna therefore confirms that if one wants to capture him, one must undertake devotional service. Bhaktyamang abhijanati javanyaschashmi tatvata tatomang tatvato gyatva vishate tat anantaram. Bhaktas enter even the planet of Krishna very easily. But the less intelligent yogis and jnanis, by their meditation, remain running after Krishna. Even if they enter Krishna's effulgence, they fall down. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nittinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. If I'm a little nervous, please forgive me, but when one speaks before superior Vaishnavas, then this nervousness is healthy. So it's all right to be nervous. But Hare Krishna, I'm trying to encourage myself. While following Krishna, Mother Yashoda her thin waist, overburdened by her heavy breasts, naturally had to reduce her speed. Because of following Krishna very swiftly, her hair became loose, and the flowers in her hair were falling after her. She did not fail to capture her son Krishna. Here, we hear of the speciality of the bhaktas. Whereas the yogis and jnanis very, very intensely try to come near to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they cannot even enter the effulgence which comes from his transcendental body. They cannot come there. But the bhaktas, by their devotional service, can enter ultimately the planet of Lord Krishna. Prabhupada paraphrases this very, very nice. It's so nice to hear his use of words and the way he puts it. Bhaktas enter even the planet of Krishna very easily, but the less intelligent yogis and jnanis, by their meditation, remain running after Krishna, even if they enter Krishna's effulgence. They fall down. So even if by some great endeavor they come, their position is not permanent. When Mother Yashoda was allowed to come so close to Krishna, she run and run and run, and finally, she became close to Krishna. Krishna decided, now I will be caught by my mother. And then Mother Yashoda tried to bind him. It is described later in the section of the Bhagavatam how she brought ropes, trying to bind them, and tried to bind them around Krishna's belly. But Krishna decided to show a special leela, which is very important for the devotees in this material world. The rope remained 2 fingers too short. Then Mother Yashoda brought new rope. Finally, she went to all available ropes. She called the gopis, please bring your rope. I do not understand what is happening. I have to bind Krishna as a punishment for his stealing. It always remained 2 fingers too short. These 2 fingers have a certain meaning. It is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, 2 things are necessary before the Lord can be bound by a devotee. First thing, devotee must put great effort into his worship. Second thing, there must be mercy on the part of the Lord upon seeing such efforts. This mercy of the Lord is the most powerful of his energies. So, Mother Yashoda, who was following little Krishna, was putting great effort into her work to run after Krishna. But finally, the Lord's mercy was important. And when the Lord saw my mother wants to bind me, if this is what mother wants, then we should consent to this. Earlier, Mother Yashoda had threatened him with a stick, but when she saw that, oh no, my boy is crying so much, he is so shocked. This is not good for his education. This is too much. And she threw the stick away and then decided to bind him. So these 2 things are there. Effort and mercy. Let us today think about these 2 items which are important also in our bhakti life. We have to put a lot of effort. But finally, it is only the mercy which comes that will bring us into bhakti, the mercy of the Lord. The effort has been... there is a very important point of the effort. The effort, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, should be done to come into the association of devotees and listen from the devotees. I have a commentary translated by our BBT devotees which says, just as poverty-stricken householders go to rich men's doors to obtain money for their family's maintenance, my devotees go to the assembly of surrendered devotees with the sole intention of collecting treasures of devotional service such as chanting from them. Please consider this example. A poor grihasthas who have to maintain their families in order to become rich only need to go where treasures can be found. They knock at the door of the pious rich people. Bang, bang, bang. Please, I'm so poor. Please give me some treasures. And then the rich man kindly will give some maybe ornament or some gold coins or he will give in kind, that is, grains and so on and so forth. In the same way, your effort in devotional service, our effort in devotional service, should be made simply by coming into the association of devotees. This is and collecting treasures. Like I believe, for these 2 or 3 days which we spend together, We could all feel this in our lives. It was some effort to come to Zurich, and some effort to some maybe to bring your tired body into the kirtan. But if you were there, you were given treasures of chanting. I noticed how Nityananda's divine kirtan energy was going into our kirtan leader, who was giving the wonderful kirtans throughout that festival, and how you all danced and chanted in exuberance, and there were happy smiling faces. You were rich. You had collected some treasures in your spiritual life. Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda, who is the rich man, Ramananda Roy? And the answer of Ramananda Roy was, he is a true capitalist, a true rich man, who has the riches of love of Godhead. We all know. When there is kirtan before Gonitai, then Gonitai bless the devotees who glorify the holy names very much with some nice thing in the heart, some Krishna conscious feelings of transcendental happiness. So this is you all, we have all experienced this. If we use our effort to come into the association of devotees, we can collect treasures of Krishna consciousness. And I think you are all rich men and rich ladies now. Although, at least, I started as a poor beggar. Now I feel something has moved in this heart. I think we know. Second effort, Srila Prabhupada speaks about this in his purport of the Bhagavad Gita, where the Yatantas Cha Dridhavrataha is explained. It is said devotees apply great determination in their bhakti. And there in the purport he says, this means devotees follow the rules which govern an ekadasi, for instance. They refrain from taking grains on that day, and they chant more. On festivals we may have sometimes difficulties to complete 25 rounds, but it is important to chant more rounds. This is a proof of effort of a devotee who makes great efforts in his spiritual life. Another effort, Prabhupada says, is that the devotee completes his fixed numbers of rounds every day without fail. This is important if we want to get bhakti. We go into the association of devotees. That effort is there to get the treasures of bhaktis from there. And then in our practice, in our sadhana, we must practice with determination and effort. And this is important. Sometimes devotees do get a little discouraged. They say, I have endeavored so hard. Oof. And it's not so easy as I thought. And I'm an ease lover, Westerners. Do not become discouraged. Especially when you keep on with your practice, even at times when you are not so enriched in Krishna consciousness, then this begins to please Krishna very, very much. In the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna laments to Krishna. He says, this mind is so difficult to control. It's more difficult to control than the raging wind. In other words, Arjuna expresses to Krishna his embarrassment that, ooh, this mind. I think we who listen to this verses become pleased and say, Arjuna hits my problem. I have this problem. My mind is sometimes thinking such embarrassing thoughts. Even after many years of devotional service, this mind sometimes really is so uncooperative in devotional service. And then Sri Krishna encourages Arjuna. He says, Arjuna, there are two things which are important to control the mind. Abhyasa and Vairagya. Abhyasa means practice. It must be done again and again and again. The mind must be brought back. Yata yata nishchalati. Tata tata. And there the Sanskrit left the speaker. Wherever the mind goes to it, due to its restless nature, from there the devotee must bring the mind back into the realm of bhakti, to the devotional life. This is very important. And vairagya, he must practice some amount of renunciation, keeping according to the guidelines given to him by his spiritual master for rules and regulations. Then only it is possible that the mind becomes the friend. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he expresses in one purport from the 11th canto this type of determination or dedication to one's practice. I want to quote this from Bhagavatam, and I wish that you hear this with great let me say, see if it applies to you. By my previous shameful life, my heart is polluted with many illusory attachments. Personally, I have no power to stop them. Only Lord Krishna within my heart can remove such inauspicious contamination. But whether the Lord removes such attachments immediately or lets me go on being afflicted by them, I will never give up my devotional service to him. Even if the Lord places millions of obstacles in my path, and even if because of my offenses I go to hell, I will never for a moment stop serving Lord Krishna. I am not interested in mental speculation and fruitive activities, even if Lord Brahma personally comes before me offering such engagements. I will not be even slightly interested. Although I am attached to material things, I can see very clearly that they lead to no good because they simply give me trouble and disturb my devotional service to the Lord. Here he says, he takes the role of a devotee who is still attached a little bit, but who knows, it does not lead to any good. I know it's not really that's where my heart is, but what can I do? I'm so... Therefore, I sincerely repent my foolish attachment to so many material things, and I'm patiently awaiting Lord Krishna's mercy. Now, this purport brings us to the second aspect of our consideration. The first was effort. Let us recapitulate. A devotee must do effort to come to Krishna consciousness. But the second thing is the mercy of the Lord. Now, the mercy of the Lord comes very easily to a devotee who begins hearing the message of the Bhagavatam, from the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavata, Srila Prabhupada, the pure devotee. Just by this process of bringing yourself there and listening to the katha of the Bhagavatam, it is very, very easy to get enlivened in Krishna consciousness. There is a verse in the 11th canto which all of you have heard about, that the human form of life is a suitable boat which the Lord has given to us for crossing the ocean of material existence. The spiritual master is an expert captain who can help us steer this boat, and then the dynamic force on this boat journey is the instructions of Lord Krishna, which come through scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. If a devotee who is intelligent uses this human form of life and takes shelter under a spiritual master, And then starts to listen to Krishna Katha, then his life will go on. Let us never forget this mercy of the Lord, who can bring a dynamic into our sometimes very, very mediocre spiritual practice. We can just listen to what the Lord says, and then the wind comes. I come from an island in northern Germany. For 12 years I was growing up there, playing happy but ignorant childhood. And our family had a boat, and we as children, we were forbidden, but of course the forbidden things had its deep attraction for the childish minds. We sometimes would go on this boat, and then we would try to go on the ocean. And I remember these wind still summer days where we were, you know, when nothing was happening. We were too small to really row the boat on our own. And we were just waiting, and we were depressed in the boat. We wanted to drive. What is going on? And I remember how glad we felt in our lives when finally some wind came and pushed the boat onward, and we began to jump on the boat, and ha ha ha. And we were, and with our friends, we would talk how nice this wind is pushing us onwards, and we would be very joyful, laughing and taking our picnic out, and we were picnicking, and the boat was going, and yes, very nice. And it was a small boat, but it needed the wind. So in our spiritual life, we are sometimes like people on a windstill ocean. Nothing is happening, and we are a little frustrated, and we detect how our mind becomes more attracted to material diversions and so on. But don't underestimate the wind, and know where you can catch the wind. It is in the assembly of devotees who also speak about Krishna, and who talk about the Krishna's words from the transcendental scriptures. There's a series of verses from the Bhagavatams. I will not read them all, because on Monday mornings devotees tend to fall asleep when hearing direct verses from the scriptures. So I will paraphrase them a little, but I will say the first verse, which is important. Having awakened faith in the narration of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment. Well, this is the description. A devotee knows, yes, material life is misery. Yes, I do not want Maya, but he is still attached. What does Krishna say to such a devotee? He says, my devotee should remain happy. You may think, why should I be happy? It's a sad story. It is, it is described, every human being loses 64 liters of tears in a life. This is an average. I should now go and fulfill my tear quotas, a devotee might think. Let me cry, because I'm such a miserable person. I have this chance, but I'm still attached. Ooh. No, Krishna says, my devotee should remain happy, no cause of distress, and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result. Why should he be happy? Well, it is described in the next verse, when an intelligent person engages in worshipping Krishna through loving devotional service, especially chanting and hearing, his heart becomes firmly situated in me. When your life is getting slow, when you're getting low, then remain happy. Continue to hear and chant, and you will see that the wind is coming again into your life, And the spiritual life gets a dynamic of what is the dynamic in spiritual life? Well, this is described by Rupa Goswami. Utsahan, enthusiasm, is a dynamic which comes into our spiritual life when we hear in the association of devotees the words of the Shastras and so on. By hearing the glories of the Lord, what happens is your faith gets increased, and as a result you become truly purified. See, the mental speculators and the karma kandis cannot become purified in their minds from material desires. But a devotee who begins to hear about Krishna in a systematic way, he can become purified in his mind. Now, you will hear a verse which describes to you how you become enthusiastic by hearing. If once, this is now a very difficult verse to digest, but please hear it. If once has, this is from the 11th canto, chapter 14, verse 23. If once has, do not stand on end, how can the heart melt? And if the heart does not melt, how can tears of love flow from the eyes? If one does not cry in spiritual happiness, how can one render loving service to the Lord? And without such service, how can the consciousness be purified? Here it is described that by hearing the katha of the Lord, then our heart becomes melted. This is a very important process in Krishna consciousness, a very important thing in Krishna consciousness. You must see from time to time if your heart gets transformed, if some melting takes place. If you see that your heart does not get transformed, if you see that there is still lust and attachment in the heart, then you must hear more attentive, and you must apply more more attention to this process. Because the heart is the most important factor, and it must be purified. Now, for purifying the heart, the association of devotees is very, very important. The association of devotees is like a melting pot in which the heart gets melted and the impurities come out of the heart. Do you know how to melt gold or get gold? The gold usually comes in an alloyed form with iron in it. So you have to put it in a melting pot, and as you melt it, because the melting point of gold is different than iron, one starts to melt earlier, that's the gold, and then it leaves the iron, flows away from the iron, and in the end you have iron here and gold here. This is also the process of bhakti yoga. We are pure spiritual souls, but we are alloyed. There is some alloy. We are not unalloyed devotees, but alloyed devotees. There's some material contamination of desires there. So to bring it, to get the pure, to become pure, we need to enter into the melting pot of devotional service. By the way, those of you who are lovers of Christian philosophy from before, who have heard, they know that even the Christians give this example. They say Lord Jesus is like the the melter, who melts, who applies this process, the man who works in the mountain, he's like the mountain worker, Lord Jesus, they say, and he melts the heart. This is a theme which Christianity may have learned from the Bhagavatam, where the melting process is described of the heart. just as gold, when smelted in fire, gives up its impurities and returns to its pure brilliant state. Similarly, the spirit soul, absorbed in the fire of bhakti yoga, is purified of all contamination caused by previous fruitive activities and returns to its original position of serving me, Krishna, in the spiritual world. When you are in the association of devotees, do not protest against this melting of the heart. Sometimes devotees think this is too much. It gets on my false ego, the devotees. I leave the association of devotees. This is too much. Or it is too strenuous. But no, if you keep in the association of devotees, then you will be melted and become purified. I want to read to you now a song from Pratana. Srila Prabhupada used to say about Pratana, read Narottamdas Thakur's Pratana and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Pratana. They are very, very valuable for advancement in spiritual understanding, especially Narottamdas Thakur's Pratana. By reading them, by understanding them, we can understand Krishna very easily. Otherwise, it is very, very difficult to understand Krishna. Big, big scholars, big, big sannyasis, they cannot understand Krishna. And Narottamdas Thakur describes how in the association of devotees, something wonderful takes place. He describes it in a song. I will not attempt to sing it because these are very difficult melodies. It goes like this. How can a wicked soul like myself attain service to the Lord? I have no affection for the service of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. My mind remains merged in an unlimited world of illusion and has not developed even a drop of attachment for the association of the Vaishnavas. I have forgotten myself in sense gratification, and I have become blind. In the meantime, that witch Maya follows me around, looking for a chance to place a noose around my neck. Friedrich Nietzsche used to say, there's a dog following me everywhere. It's ego, he used to say. Here, Narottamdas Thakur, He came before Nietzsche. He gave that same idea. Imagine you're always followed by a dog who wants to bite you. What an embarrassing situation. Get off my heels, you say. So Maya, he says, is the same. I have forgotten myself in sense gratification and have become blind. In the meantime, the witch Maya follows me around, looking for a chance to place a noose around my neck. You know, I'm going there, innocently looking into the shopping window. The rope is there. Buy this, buy this. I'm there in the kirtan, and a beautiful member of the opposite sex displays his vigorous dancing, and my eyes fall on that member of the opposite bank of the river of genders, and when the noose is there, it pulls me. Maya is always there with the noose, like a cowboy. Come. So Narottama says he's very ashamed. He's in a very, very bad situation. Then he says, there seems to be no way I can be freed of her other than the mercy of the saintly. There's nothing to help me conquer Maya. He says, without the mercy of the devotees, no one can conquer Maya and give her up. It is not possible. Srila Prabhupada used to say this, if you go outside of the association of devotees, this is not possible. It is because of Maya with her noose, her cowboy or cowgirl. And she never misses her aim if she wants. She is experienced since time immemorial how to throw that noose around the devotees and the lonesome cowboy, the lonely devotee. The only works if you surround yourself with devotees who are real devotees, not dharmadvachis, not those who pretend to follow the path of bhakti but do all kinds of mischief in the name of devotee. No, dharmadvachis or those who are pretenders on the path of dharma, we must be careful. But the real devotees, we must, their maya cannot do her cowboy activity, cowgirl activities. Narottam says, without the mercy of the devotees, no one can conquer and give up maya. Ihar kariya jaya, chadhana na jaya, sadhu kripa bina ara nahika upaya. an attempt. Hare Krishna. So this is the first help. Last help or kripa is in the Lord's name. Lord has said, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how a devotee who takes shelter in the name can experience what is described as cheto darpanamajanam. The heart becomes, which is like a mirror, becomes cleansed of these of the dust. What is the dust on the heart, on our hearts? It has been explained by our acharyas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his commentary says it's that independent desire to enjoy separately from the Lord. If you chant the name, that desire becomes cleansed, that your heart becomes presentable in the association of Vaishnavas. So, Hare Krishna, I know that we have said many things, and it is Monday morning, tired Monday morning. Let me summarize the class again, so that we can take something out of the class and apply it in our spiritual lives. In the verse, we were hearing the Leela, how Mother Yashoda caught Krishna and finally bound him. And it was explained that there must be two things to obtain Krishna: the effort and the mercy of the Lord. If the two things are not there, the effort and the mercy of the Lord, we will never be able to come into the association of Krishna. Do you think it's so cheap that the yogis can work hard with austerities and don't reach him? No, we have to do some effort, but the main part in our advancement will always be the mercy of the Lord. So we were hearing what should be the effort, and it was described to come into the association of devotees like a beggar who wants to collect from them the treasures of bhakti, and to the second type of effort is to keep very determined our spiritual practice intact. Yesterday two devotees were obtaining, or three devotees were obtaining the initiation, and we should support these devotees in their spiritual lives so that they can always chant Krishna, chant the name with taste, and that they can always find the taste for their spiritual practices. It's important, we should help the devotees. They have made vows, and it is important that they, under the guidance of their expert spiritual master, become accomplished in bhakti. So, then kripa. How do we obtain the kripa of the Lord? What is the kripa of the Lord? The greatest kripa of the Lord is that in the narration about his topics and pastimes, there is an inconceivable potency which is in there, a magical potency which can purify the heart and melt the heart from all its impurities. The second type of the mercy of the Lord is that he has kindly sent devotees into our lives, and in the association of devotees we can get free of the cow lady, cowboy and cowgirl. the lasso swinging Maya. We can become free. And the third point where the Kripa is hidden is in the holy name, where Lord Chaitanya says, my dear Lord, there is no... all the energies you have given into your names like Govinda and Krishna, and beg for the mercy. The mercy you can get especially when you listen to the katha, when you go to the devotees, and when you chant the holy name when you chant it properly. Then you will be successful in no time, and you will conquer the insurpassable ocean of Maya and become happy, fulfilled Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis who can give part of your transcendental enlivenment to this world which needs it desperately. Hare Krishna. So I've come to the conclusion. I have not read half of the quotations which are in this notebook for this lecture, because knowing that it's as Monday morning.
Yeah. 2 days ago we had a discussion about recognizing the mercy and relation of the Lord, and you warned us that we only if we are really sure that there is really a relation of Krishna, we should say so, as we commit repentance and help and not, that we imagine some influence of Krishna which is not there. So this also seems to be important for our daily life, in waiting for Krishna's mercy, and often we say this is just Krishna's mercy. So can you give some hints how to really recognize if something that seems to be an arrangement of Krishna is really an arrangement and not just some chance?
Your question has the fault of many different ideas, and it is therefore now difficult to understand the main idea. Could you please repeat the main idea?
The main idea is that we are waiting for Krishna's mercy.
Yes.
And we want to see in our daily life, because this is inspiring us to be religious. But we should not imagine something to be Krishna's mercy, which is not Krishna's mercy. So how to recognize Krishna's influence in our life? And not imagine.
Maybe some. I will make the question of Gaurashiva Umani clear, because some of you, you know, only he was in that class in Goloka Dham. There we were discussing that sometimes devotees imagine things in their spiritual lives and say it is Krishna's mercy, but it's really only their imagination. And an example could be, you know, I could give a very humorous example, that something happens. Something happens. The devotee says that's mercy, but I can't think now in these humorous terms. And it's really only an arrangement of Maya or something very, very, very normal which happened. It is not Krishna's direct interventions in one's life. If you want to see what is Krishna's mercy in your life, there is one very general guideline. It is, you should see what is you can ask your spiritual master and see if this is really Krishna's arrangement, or you can ask sadhus, is your fellow devotees, and you can also read in the shastras. And when whatever happened to you has that quality, that it is in conformity with what the spiritual master says, what the sadhus say, and what Shastra say, then you can know it is something spiritual. It meets that criterion. Another sign of Krishna's mercy is that what happened to you inspires you totally in Krishna consciousness and helps you to get out of the influence of Maya. Especially Krishna's mercy can be easily obtained during kirtan, and if a devotee is in kirtan, Lord Chaitanya, he is present in three forms. When he came, he was Shakshat, he was there dancing with his devotees. Then sometimes he became an Avyabharva. He appeared in the house of Nishinkananda Das Brahmachari and Mata Sachi. He made his appearance there. And then also the last thing, he appeared in the form of Avesh. He empowered one of his devotees, Nakula Das Brahmachari. So this form where the Lord, we can very easily meet the Lord in the mercy of the Lord, where he has empowered, where he is present. For instance, the deity, the Lord has kindly appeared that in there. He's there with his Shakti, with his Kripa Shakti of giving mercy. The Lord is also there in the form of his devotees. He has empowered those devotees. He's also there in the scriptures. These are not ordinary literature, but these are empowered literature with the Lord's present. So you can collect the mercy there. But I think your question is how to distinguish what is Maya and what is Maya's arrangement and what is Krishna's arrangement. If you are a very exalted Vaishnava, or you try to follow the examples of very exalted Vaishnavas, then you will be able to see that everything is the mercy of the Lord, even what appears to be Maya's arrangement. This is on a very high level of Krishna consciousness. Vidura was on such a level. When he came into the court of the Kauravas to give good advice to Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana became so nasty, and he said such bad things about Vidura, using bad names, calling him partial of the Pandavas, and really blaspheming him left and right. So Vidura saw Duryodhana as a Maya. This is Maya. But he also saw this is an arrangement of Krishna, Krishna's mercy, because now I can leave the palace and go on pilgrimage. And he went on a long pilgrimage. Prabhupada explains this in the purport of these verses. So ultimately, even the bad things which look like, oh, why did this have to happen, are Krishna's mercy. I personally learned this. Sometimes you, when you are leading, when you are sannyasi or whatever leader in this international attempt for becoming Krishna consciousness, then sometimes misunderstanding happened. You said the wrong thing. You quoted. And someone is not pleased by what you said, and then next day you find out you are on com, and the whole world knows that you are the worstest thing in creation, and then it hurts so much, you know, and you go, oh, I'm trying to give myself, but the Vaishnavas are not satisfied. You know, you become disheartened, and you sit in the corner and cry. No one understands me. No one loves me. And you know that some misunderstanding went in there. Some Maya disturbed the either your mind or the other mind, one's mind, or the communication, or the whatever, the computer world, or and so on. But then, when you think deeply, you know, it's for my purification. Krishna, is so merciful to me. He wants me to shape and really see what I say and avoid misunderstanding. He said, you know, thank you, Krishna. You know, both are happening. Maybe some, you know, misunderstanding is there. And also, you know, no, I need to be brought up in shape. It is good. This is a practical experience in modern cyberspace is gone. Hare Krishna. This is, we should try to see how something, which, how everything is Krishna's mercy. This is how a devotee wants to lead his life. Gopal Kripa. Oh, that which makes us more humble and tolerant is the mercy of Krishna. Yes. Yes, that is also the mercy of Krishna. And the prasadam of Krishna is the mercy of Krishna. I see it's a question of breaking the fast. No? I'm in there? Ach so. Oh, ho. It's not that we walk into the time where we have. Don't worry, we will come to a quick close. Yeah. Yes, you're right. Hare Krishna. Must have been very boring. I'm sorry. Hare Krishna. Any other devotees? Question? Nick. Is there a difference between Kripa Shakti and Kladini Shakti of Krishna? We usually say that Srimati Radharani is the embodiment of the pleasure-giving potency. The Kladini Shakti. And Srimati Radharani is the most compassionate. Is the compassionate aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the compassionate side. So from this, it seems that the Kripa Shakti is at least very much associated with Srimati Radharani. Devotees first say Radha, and then Krishna, Radha, Krishna. To obtain, Prabhupada explains this in the foreword of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, to obtain the mercy. But I have not heard that the Kripa Shakti is identical with the Kladini Shakti. There must be a connection, but I have not heard about this. It's a strong connection. Yes. Yeah. Mistress of mercy, yes, Prabhu says this, that I will repeat it, that Srimati Radharani is the how did he phrase it? Embodiment, yes, the embodiment of the compassion of Krishna. So that seems to indicate that she is the mistress of Kripa Shakti. Yes, Srimati Radharani is very, very merciful. Very merciful. I will tell you something from E.T., from folklore. What the devotees in Vrindavan say. It is, Prabhupada once was asked, can you tell us stories about Krishna? And he said, you ask the devotees in Vrindavan. They always have these. So there's one. Which devotees in Vrindavan like to remember very much. Srimati Radharani was going in the, through the, her forest in Vrindavan, and all of a sudden she felt on her foot something very soft. So she looked around to see it, but she was so much decorated for Krishna's pleasure, and she couldn't look down to her foot. It was, you know, either her sari was over this soft thing, or she stopped and said, what is this? So her associate said, you know everything, Radharani. You know everything. No, what is this? Is this maybe a sakhi, one of the gopis who tries to get my mercy, capturing the lotus feet? Other gopi said, no, Radharani, you know everything. But still, because you have asked us, we will explain, we will say, it's a jackal who gave up the body yesterday night. Oh, said Radharani, because I have asked, if this a gopi who wants to get my mercy, because I have asked this, therefore, because my desire is a true Satya Sankhava, bring that soul from wherever he is at this present moment. That this soul must get the mercy now. So devotees in Vrindavan sometimes feel very distressed. Oh no, no chance for me, no chance for me. But then they think, if I'm just in Vrindavan, stay there for some time, then Radharani might come close to me on her walk, and then might give me her mercy like that. Hare Krishna. Any other question which you might have? Right, then we will stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.